Resurrection Sunday. Amen. Amen. Penny and I were watching a movie one time, and there was a teacher that was in that movie, and his name was Mr. Drone. And he droned on like this. Now, if you would please open your Bibles. But that's not what I'm going to do. Amen. Hallelujah. Because today we're going to talk about part two of the series, We Have This Treasure in Earthen Vessels, about the treasure that is in us. Amen. Amen. Overview. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. From 2 Corinthians 4:7. God has uniquely created us as a spiritual being in a material body with a spirit, heart, soul, mind, and of course, a body. When we fully embrace with our hearts the amazing, inexhaustible treasure that is in us, it will dramatically change our lives. He designed us as earthen vessels filled with an amazing treasure of God's glory, which is to be released to change our lives and the world around us by the excellency of the power of God. Amen. We have this treasure, and we're going to unfold that treasure today, and we're going to look at it and see what it has to say to us, this wonderful, amazing treasure that is in us. Now, in part one, we talked about the earthen vessel. And so it's a treasure in earthen vessels, in us, in our physical body that was formed from the dust of the ground, that God breathed life into it. But it's just an earthen vessel. See, it's not the vessel that is important. It's the treasure. It's the treasure. The other day, Penny and I were going through some things in a cabinet that had stuff that had belonged to my parents. And so I was kind of looking through it, and I looked in the back there, and there was this box. I said, I don't ever remember seeing that box before. So I pull out this box. It's obviously old. It's all dusty. And there's been places where apparently had gotten some water on it, because there's, you know, some spots, some stains and stuff. And so I'm looking at that box. I'm saying, wow, I've never seen this box before. And I open up the box, and inside was this little doll. The doll itself was no more than about this tall, with this bright red hair, with this bow around it, and this amazing gold dress that went about 4 inches below its legs. It was just beautiful laying there in the box. Now, the box was old and dusty and dirty, but the treasure that was inside that box was amazing. Now, I have no idea where that doll came from. I've never seen it in my life. I have a feeling, though, that it was probably something that my mother had as a little girl. And the box had a name on it, and I looked it up, and I'm not sure how it all correlates together, but there is a company in Canada that used to make dolls under that name, but I don't know if this is one of them. I couldn't find anything online. But anyway, this amazing treasure in this old box. We're kind of like that. The thing about us being an earthen vessel is that it's common. You know, like it says in 1 Corinthians 10, that these temptations that have taken you are common to man. See, our earth suit is common to man. We all have an earth suit. But what makes us different is that treasure that's in us. Now notice there that it says that the power of God, the excellency of the power of God may be seen. It's not us that needs to be seen. It's the power of God in us, emanating from that treasure. So let's look a little bit at this treasure, understanding the amazing treasure that is in us. 2 Corinthians 4:3-7, of course, this is where that our main scripture is from. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of the world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now, just kind of as a sidelight here, notice it's the evil one blinding the minds of those that are lost. One way of praying for your lost family and friends, loved ones, is to bind that demon, that every time that the gospel is presented to them, that the God of this world, Satan, is bound so he cannot blind their minds. They can hear the gospel, whether it be by someone ministering to them, a song on the radio, a program on TV, a fish coming out of the sea and talking to them. Now, we've heard testimonies of tribes that knew about Jesus because the fish had taught them. So whatever it might be, that their minds would not be bound, but their minds would hear and understand and be able to receive the word of God into their hearts, and it begins to take root. It's going on to verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves as servants for Christ's sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. In other words, our hearts were open. We're not blinded. And the light of God, the light of the glorious gospel, has shined into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that treasure of the light of Jesus Christ that has come into us. So let's take a look a little bit further at this in Titus 3:5-6. For we are saved not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. I want us to look at that word regeneration. It means restructuring, to be reconstructed. And so what happened was, when we asked Jesus into our hearts, when we cried out to him with our voice, believing in our hearts and making confession with our mouth that he is Lord, when we did that, something amazing happened. The Holy Spirit came into our spirit and reconstructed us so that his spirit took up residence in our spirit. We have a brand new spirit, which is the spirit of the living God, living in us. That is the treasure, the spirit of the living God. But it even goes, it's a lot bigger than that. Amen. Let's go on. Colossians 2:9-10. For in him, in Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So we know that in Jesus, all the Godhead. And this is now in Colossians here, it actually, and it's as Paul's talking about, he's talking about the Christ. So it's more than just Jesus in the physical. It's Jesus as raised from the dead. All of God dwells in him. And then it goes on to verse 10. And you are complete. That is filled to the top. Now, the word fullness in verse 9 and the word complete in verse 10 are actually the same Greek word. So God, all of God is in Jesus. All of Jesus is in us, filling us up. That's why we are complete in him. Everything that we need is in Jesus. And that is a wonderful treasure. And We're going to open that and look at that even more as we go through this. Let's go on. Colossians 1, 25 through 27. Wherefore I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now has been made manifest, has been revealed to his saints, to us, his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So we know that the mystery is Christ in you. That has been the mystery that has been revealed. So let's read this again, and this time where it says mystery, let's insert Christ in you. What is the riches of the glory of Christ in you? What is significant about that is the phrase, riches of the glory. Paul uses this phrase 5 times in his writings. Riches, of course, is the regular word that we would think of as rich. Somebody is rich. Somebody is wealthy. Somebody has abundance. So the riches of his glory, see, the picture that that paints for me is an inexhaustible supply of the glory of God, the manifest presence of God. So the riches, this inexhaustible supply from God of his glory is in us, Christ in us, the expectation, the hope of glory. It's not hope. I hope it works that way. No, it is a confident expectation that his glory will be manifested to us. It is an inexhaustible supply, not just manifested to us, but manifested through us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. So 9 and 10 of Colossians chapter 2 are really the detailed explanation of the Christ in you. All of God in Christ, all of Christ in us. An inexhaustible supply of God's power and glory and might that is in us. Now, I don't know if you're getting excited. I don't know if this is turning you on, getting you on fire. If not, maybe your wood is wet. Dry it out and get on fire. This is amazing. Ephesians chapter 1. 17 through 20, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. So what he's doing here, he's talking about the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that there would be an illumination, an understanding about who you are. So he said there's 4 or 3 things that he talks about here, that you may have a knowledge of him. That knowledge is that you may know what is the hope of his calling. That calling that he has called you to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. That calling to be chosen in him before the foundations of the world to be holy and blameless. That you may know that. You may have an intimate knowledge of his calling on our lives. But then look at the next one. And what the riches of the glory, there's that same phrase again, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. His inheritance in the saints. Remember that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 1, it says that Jesus has been given all things. All things have been given to him. If Jesus has all things and we are joint heirs with him, then that means we have all things as a joint heir with him. And so whatever we need to fulfill our calling, all the inheritance that we need, all the power, all the glory, all the might and strength that we need to fulfill his calling has been made available to us. The inexhaustible supply I mean, we are like a nuclear powerhouse inside of us in Jesus Christ. Amen. An inexhaustible supply of the inheritance that we need to fulfill our calling. And then he goes on, he says, and the exceeding greatness, that you may know the exceeding greatness of his power that has been given to us, that same power that raised Jesus from the dead and seated him at his own right hand, that you may know his calling, the inexhaustible supply of everything we need to fulfill that calling, and the power to do it. Amen. That power that raised Jesus from the dead, that is residing in us. Let's go on to Ephesians chapter 3. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. We see it again, that inexhaustible supply, the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Oftentimes we like to go on from this right away and read the results that Christ may do on your heart by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints the depth, breadth, light, height, and depth, and all that everywhere, and to know the love of Christ, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, those are great, and that's what we need to get to. But look where it starts, the riches of his glory, that you may be strengthened with might by his power in the inner man. That's where it starts. If you're not strengthened with might by his power in the inner man, it's not going to come out in the dwelling of Christ in your heart and knowing and understanding his love and being filled with all the fullness of God. It starts with that. So what are we talking about when we talk about strengthened with might in the inner man? We're talking about the spirit. We're talking about the heart. We're talking about the soul. Now, the spirit is already taken care of. The spirit has got the power of God in there. So it is the then releasing of the power that's within us, the strengthening that we need for our heart and our soul, for our heart to be so filled with God, so... I don't even know how to say it. Hila bashanta kila deshka. Do you understand that? So filled, our heart needs to be so filled with God that that power can come out. Our heart needs to be strengthened so that we can go beyond what we can imagine, that our heart can be so healed and restored and one with him. It's a restoration of our heart that he is trying to put together here, that our heart become one in him and fully set on him. And then the soul, that part of us that is the I don't know what you'll call it, the motivator. It's where we have our desires and our direction in our life that comes from our heart. And so when these things are so filled and strengthened with might by his power, that inexhaustible supply, then Christ can dwell in our hearts by faith. Then we can understand the love of Christ, both for us and through us to others. And then we can be filled with all the fullness of God. Now look at it this way. We are earthen vessels, but if your spirit is filled with all of God, if your heart is filled with all of God, if your soul is filled with all of God, if your mind has been renewed by the Word of God and is filled with God, then it only makes sense that you might be filled with the power of God. We're an earthen vessel, but we have so much within us. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at Romans 9:23, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. He has prepared us unto glory, and he again has given us an inexhaustible supply of what we need for us, his vessels of mercy, that he has shown his mercy on. John 14, 12 through 17. Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these. See, a lot of times we read that and we think, wow, how can I do the works of Jesus? I'm just an earthen vessel. How can I do the works of Jesus? I got all these challenges, all these problems, all these things, all these issues. You know what? It's not about us. Matter of fact, let's go on. He says, greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified. You shall ask anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, that is the Spirit of truth, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So the Spirit that we need, the inexhaustible supply to do the works of Jesus and to do the greater works in Jesus, has already been supplied to us by this treasure that is in us. There was a man who been hearing these truths and understanding these truths, and he was just getting so filled with God. One day he had been invited by another pastor to come and speak at his church, so he was there, and the day before he was to minister, he arrived, and so the pastor said, hey, let's go on out to lunch. And so he said, great, you know. So they went out to lunch, and as they were approaching the restaurant, all of a sudden they saw this commotion. A bunch of people gathered around, and there was a guy laying in the gutter who had died. And he got all excited. He said, all right, this is my opportunity. So he runs up there and he says, get out of the way. And so he pushes the crowd back. He grabs the man by his feet and he says, in the name of Jesus, live. And the man jumped and the crowd jumped. So he saw that when he spoke life into that man, that he saw that there was a life-giving force that went into him. Unfortunately, the paramedics arrived just at that time, and you know how they are. They just kind of come in and take over. But he saw that, and he was excited. Wow, look at the power of God in me, was able to minister to that man. Let's go on to the next point. Every characteristic of God, of the Godhead, is in us. His love is in us, so we can love others with a God kind of love. His love was shed abroad in our hearts, Romans tells us. The names of God, everything that is about the name of God, as healer, as our peace, as our shepherd, Jehovah Rohi. All this is also in us because God is in us. The righteousness of God, the mind of Christ, the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, the faith of Christ, the authority in three worlds, the wisdom of God. All of these things are part of what's in us in Christ Jesus. It's not just about the power, but it's about being able to also release out of our lives the wisdom of God when it's needed, the love of God when it's needed, all the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of God when they're needed in certain incidences, the gifts of the Spirit, His authority over demons, devils, and evil spirits, the authority that we have in Him. So it is releasing out of us that power of God to affect those things for us, in us, and around us. So we need to believe God that these things are in us, and that all we have to do is learn how to open the door, is to set aside the vessel. Remember, we talked about that a little bit when we talked about the earthen vessel. about the importance of us dying to ourselves so that the life of God can be released out of us. Let's look a little bit more at living the treasure that is in you. Philemon chapter 1, verse 6, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. Now, let's kind of unpack this a little bit. Let's start with the ending. Every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. That's what we're talking about, the treasure, the things that inexhaustible supply for everything that we need to accomplish all that God has called us to accomplish, to be all that God has called us to be. Notice he says they're acknowledging of every good thing. That word is epignosko, an intimate knowledge, an intimate understanding. So we need to have an intimate understanding of who we are in Christ, an intimate understanding of all the good that is in us in Christ Jesus, in this glory that is in us. An intimate understanding, an intimate knowledge. When we have then that intimate knowledge, then we go to the first phrase, that the communication of thy faith may be effectual. In other words, as you are ministering to situations and people and whatever it might be in your life, as you are communicating your faith, it will be effectual because you know who you are in Christ. And you know that when love is needed in this situation, you can love. When a word of knowledge is needed in a situation to be able to minister somebody, you're right there with it, and it will be effectual. When you need wisdom and direction for the things that you are doing in your life, for the direction that God has taken you, and you're questioning Him, what is it you have for me? What do you want in this particular situation, that the wisdom of God is right there? It becomes effectual because we understand who we are in Christ and what He has given to us. That's why Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. We have an inexhaustible supply, so we can do everything that He has called us to do. There is nothing that is impossible to us, Jesus says. We can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. Don't limit what God can do through you. Doesn't matter if you're 3, 33, 53, or 93. God can work through you because the power of God is in you. Romans 8, 33 through 37. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. So whenever the evil one tries to bring an accusation to you, against you, say, oh, how can you be a Christian? Look what you just did. Now you receive the Lord's forgiveness. That's not who I am in Christ. I am not that person that committed that sin. I'm not that person that did that unloving thing. That is not me. Because I am filled with the love of God. I am filled with the glory of God. So that is not me. So we accept our forgiveness. God justifies us, calls us holy. So don't let those things weigh you down and make you feel like, this isn't working. I can't do this. No, because you can do it. Who is he that condemns for ourselves, the evil one, whatever, putting us down? No, no one can condemn us. It is Christ that died, rather that rose again, who is even at the right hand of the Father. He makes intercession for us. So he has forgiven us of all these things. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distresses, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? The answer is no. Because no matter what the situation that comes into your life, no matter what the situation before you, you can overcome it in Jesus because you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you because you have an inexhaustible supply of everything that you need. So that makes us more then conquerors over every one of these items, everything that comes against us. 2 Peter 1, 3 through 4 says, according as his divine power, that's that divine power that is in us, according as his divine power has given us everything that we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises. Some of those are the things we've been talking about this morning. That by these we may be partakers of his divine nature, so that we are partnering. That's what partakers means. We are partnering with the divine nature that is in us in order to do everything that we need to do and be everything that he's called us to be. There was a minister that had been walking in signs and wonders. He had already raised someone from the dead. He had seen blind eyes open. He had seen ears open, and lame people walking and this kind of thing. So he knew who he was in Christ. He came to his he got a call from one of his parishioners. Said, Joe, her husband, he's really in bad shape. They've been praying for him and working with him for healing. And he said, you better get over here. And so he said, okay. So he drove over there. And as he starts to knock on the door, he hears this scream inside and this commotion starting. So he just went ahead. He just opened the door and went in. And the man was sitting in his chair and he had just died. And so he walks over to him and he grabs his hand and says, Joe, in the name of Jesus, life come back into you. And Joe opens his eyes and stands up. And a few minutes later, the paramedics came, they do all their stuff. He was completely fine. Praise the Lord. Because he knew the power that was in him. Amen. About 3.5 years ago, almost 4 years ago now, we were sitting here in healing school, and one of our healing school people decided it was time to test if we really believed what we were preaching about healing and about walking in divine health. And so he's almost sitting in the exact same place he was sitting that day, and he decided to die back here in the corner. Not really, he didn't decide to, he just did. And what did we do? Those of us that were here, we had seen people raised from the dead. We had seen people that had been miraculously brought back to health from situations that looked hopeless. So all we did was just move in and start proclaiming life and victory and health to him. And within about 45 minutes, he was up and walking and doing fine. Came back to church the next day. Amen. And he's and next day he came back to church and he was better than ever. And there he is, still for almost 4 years later, still walking in health and healing. Thank you, Jesus. Not that he hasn't had challenges, but he's an overcomer. Amen. Amen. Colossians 2:3. In whom? Talking about Christ, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. If they are hid in Christ, where is Christ? Where's Christ? In us. So those things are hidden in us. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You need help with something? Ask. It's right here. Pray in tongues. I've done that many times when we've had challenges with some of the technical stuff. And it's just like, what is going on? Can't figure it out. Start praying in tongues. Lord, what is it? And all of a sudden, check it out. There it is. Boom, 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 done. See, all that we need, all the treasures of wisdom and understanding, all the treasures of knowledge are hid in Christ, which is hid in us. Bring it out in tongues. You need wisdom and direction about what to do and the timing of things and the direction. I know Penny and I, as we began our relationship and started moving towards marriage, we just had prayed and just asked the Lord, what do you want us to do? When do you want us to do this? And I mean, the timing was just amazing. Amazing as we followed what He called us to do, as we listened to Him. Mark 16, 17 through 20. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In My name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. And they shall take up serpents and drink any deadly thing, and it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Verse 20, and they went forth, preaching everywhere, the Lord working with and confirming the word with signs following. Notice I have the word them in brackets, because in the original, the them is not there. It was added by the choice of the translators to try to help it make sense to the reader. But it makes more sense spiritually when you take the them out. It's not working with them, the apostles that were preaching. It's working with them, with the word that the apostles preached. So God was working with and confirming the word that they preached, which of course is the word of God. So we have the power within us, that inexhaustible supply to do these things, for these signs to follow us, and the signs and wonders and miracles to go along with that. Matthew 10, 7 through 10, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass for your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet stays, for the workman is worthy of his meat, of his food. So what's he talking about there? Well, of course, we understand the first part about healing, about raising the dead, cleansing the lepers, casting out demons. We understand those kind of things. But also, what's in us is everything we need physically, everything we need for our life, everything we need to do what God has called us to do. So that's why he says, don't take, you know, an extra pair of shoes. Don't take cloaks and staves and money and this kind of stuff. You won't need it because I'm going to provide. So that provision is also within us, because there's one verse that I didn't mention about where Paul uses the riches of his glory. Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. His riches in glory. In other words, there is an inexhaustible supply of the resources that you need to accomplish what God has called you to accomplish. Has he called you to go out and to heal the sick and raise the dead and do all this stuff? Yes, he has. And he'll provide all the resources necessary, the spiritual resources and the physical resources that you need, because they come from the same supply, that inexhaustible supply of his glory. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. 2 Corinthians. Well, before we go on there, let me mention one. Well, no, we can do it in concert with this. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 20. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So we have within us the power of God to be able to minister to those around us with the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, the power of God, healing, raising the dead, whatever it might be. There was this one man that was part of ABC years ago, and he was trying to minister to his Muslim barber. And every time he'd go in for a haircut, he'd try to figure out some way to talk to this guy about Jesus. And the guy just wasn't interested. Well, one day he was in there getting his haircut, and outside, somebody on a bike was riding by, and they just dropped dead right in front of the barber shop. And a crowd of people were gathered around. They could hear, oh, he's dead, this kind of stuff. So the guy turns around and looks at his barber and says, "Does Muhammad heal?" The guy said, "No." He said, "Watch Jesus." So he walks out of that. I bet he still had the thing around him, you know. He walks out of that barber shop, clears the crowd away, lays hands on that young man, says, "Be healed in the name of Jesus. Life come back into you." And he woke up, and he was fine. By the time the paramedics got there, he was doing well. Yes, Jesus does heal. Amen. And that was then a testimony to that man about Jesus. See, that was part of that ministry of reconciliation. When my dad was in the hospital last October, Penny and I went to visit him. And while we were walking in, we saw this woman that was also going down the corridor, and she was kind of limping. So we said, "Hey, let's pray for her." And so we stopped her and said, "You know, it'd be all right if we see that you're limping stuff. It'd be all right if we pray for you." And she said, "Yeah." And I said, "And are you here to visit somebody?" And she said, "Yeah, my daughter," or whatever it was having some challenges. I said, "Well, we'd like to pray for you." She said, "Oh, that would be wonderful." And so we grab her hand and we start praying for her, for herself, and for her daughter. And we started asking her about her relationship with the Lord. It turns out that she was a Christian. She knows the Lord. But it's just, we have to take the initiative many times to minister to those. Sometimes there are going to be people that are Christians. Sometimes they're not. And that is an opportunity to use the power of God to minister, to help them, to be the voice of God, crying out, "Be reconciled to God." Because that's what it is. That Christ in us wants people to be reconciled to God. So let's talk now about releasing the treasure that is in you. Our faith in what Jesus has done for us and who we are because of the living Christ in us, with corresponding actions and words of faith, release the treasure in us. In other words, we are partnering with God. We are believing what God has done in that treasure that is in us. We believe it, and so we take corresponding actions of faith and of our words, corresponding actions and words that reveal our faith and our trust. Because Hebrews tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we believe what it is. We don't see it. We can't see that treasure that is in us, but we can see the effect of it when we step out in faith. Remember, we can do the works of Christ, and we can do even greater works. And it says to ask the Father in my name, and he will do it. So we need then to, by faith, step out and expect that he will be right there. The power of God will be ready to be released as we, by faith and with our words, step out and reach out to someone around us or with the situation that we may need to deal with in our life. John 7:37-39. In these last days, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified." Well, brothers and sisters, Jesus has been glorified. That means that his Spirit has been given. That means his Spirit is in us. That means that out of our being, out of our innermost being, that heart and soul and out of the Spirit should flow these rivers of living water. Not little sprinkles, not little raindrops, not little cupfuls. No, rivers of living water flowing out from our being to those around us, and for us, and for whatever we need in terms of ministry to others and fulfilling God's calling on our life. But it comes with an attitude. It's not just, wow, I'm excited and I'm just going to go out there and do it. That's part of it. But there's another attitude, and that is that brokenness, that realizing that we are earthen vessels and we have to die to ourselves to release it. A vessel keeps things within. But if there is a place on the vessel, like that box, when I opened up the lid of the box, it was now an opening in which the treasure could be released. We need to have an opening. And part of that is our attitude about ourselves and about our earthen vessel. Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So there needs to be an attitude of being a living sacrifice. In John 12, we see that living sacrifice lived out or expressed in a different way. He says, verily, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loves his life shall lose it, and he that hates his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. So we need to see ourselves as a seed with life, that earthen vessel full of the life of God. And just like a seed needs to go into the ground and it has to die, in other words, it decays there in the ground, so that the life that is inside of it can begin to spring forth. Right? If you plant a corn, or let's say he talks here about wheat, if you plant a kernel of wheat, and then when that kernel comes up and it begins to go into the full head of wheat, if you were to dig up to try to find that seed, you ain't going to find nothing, because that seed will have died and dissipated. The same thing needs to be true with us. For the life of God to come out of us, we have to die to ourselves. That's why Jesus said, he that loves his life shall lose it, but he who hates his life, in other words, he who is looking for God's life, if he who hates his life shall keep it unto eternal life. Now let's go on to verse 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. So we need to, there needs to be obedience. We need to follow him, to do what he says to do, to follow him by his spirit. One of the benefits of having that powerhouse inside of us is that he leads us and guides us. See, when Jesus says, I only did the things that I saw my Father do, and I only said the things that I heard my Father say. Well, how was he doing that? You know, did he have a little, iPhone in his pocket, and the Holy, you know, God would call him and tell him what to do? Tell him what to say? No, he had the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Holy Spirit came and rested upon him and remained. And so as he was going through his life, as he was doing what he was doing, God would tell him, right around this corner, there's going to be a blind man. You go and heal him. Right around this corner, there's going to be a leper. When you come down from the mountain, there's going to be a man there that is possessed with a demon. Get ready to cast him out. So God was working with him, showing him, teaching him along the way. So we have to follow him. Now notice the next phrase. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. Notice it doesn't say, and where my servant is, there will I be with him. Notice it doesn't say that. It says, where I am, so shall my servant be. Be where God tells you to be. Follow him the way that he instructs you to follow him. And that is how you serve him. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. John 8, 31 and 32. Kind of going on now to a little bit of a a different aspect. So we talked about the giving of ourselves, dying to ourselves, becoming that living sacrifice. Now let's talk a little bit about how the Word of God fits into this. John 8, 31 and 32, and then verse 36. Then Jesus said unto those Jews which believe on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Verse 36, and if the Son therefore make you free, you shall be free indeed. So we need to continue in the word, to follow after the word, to look at the word of God. What is the word of God telling us? What is the word of God saying to us? And we need to follow the word. We need to hear it and obey it. And if we then know the truth, we find out what the truth of God's word is, and we do it, then we are set free. That process of continuing in the word, what it's doing is opening up our hearts to believe what God's word says. We're not just hearing it and then moving on. We are hearing it and doing something with it. The parable of Jesus in Mark chapter 4. You remember that? The parable of the sower. Sowed on four different types of ground. There was the hardened ground. And the birds came. Satan came and stole the word. And that's because they were like the Jews. They believed in him, but they weren't continuing. So when Jesus would throw out the word, they'd hear it, but because they didn't understand it, Matthew 13 tells us, that the birds came and took it. Satan came and took the word. But then those that were of good ground, I'm going to skip the other two right now, those that were of good ground, they were the ones that were continuing in the word. So the word took root in them, and the word and the roots root was able to go down deep, and fruit was able to come out of it. And what was that fruit? That fruit was their freedom. The truth set them free in whatever area that they were believing God for, in whatever area they were continuing in the word. And so notice it says the ground was the heart. And because the heart was good, the heart was open to receive the word, then it allowed the fruit to come forth. Romans 12, 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The transformation, the metamorphosis takes place as we renew our mind on the Word of God. And when our minds are renewed on the Word of God, then we shall know His will, His good, perfect, or it's good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. James 1 also gives us another picture of how to view the Word of God in this in these areas. Wherefore, lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. In other words, stop sinning and receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save your souls or deliver your souls. Verse 22, but be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And he goes on to say that if you are just hearing but not doing the word, you're like a man that looks at his face in the mirror and immediately forgets what sort of man he was as he leaves. Verse 25, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein. So it's the same thing, looking at the Word of God. We continue to look at the mirror of the Word of God and compare ourselves to what the Word says. We continue and we are obedient to it. We don't just hear it, we do it. Be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So again, I'm emphasizing the importance of the Word of God. Our faith, our commitment and our dedication to Him, dying to ourselves, the Word of God. Now let's go on, number 9. The flow of the anointing out of us is this. So as we've been talking about who we are in Christ, this powerhouse that lives in us. The flow of that power out of us is this. From our spirit, through our heart, which affects then our entire being, our soul, mind, and body, and the world around us through our words and our works. So that is the flow. It comes from our spirit in us, but it's got to come through the heart. The heart, which has been renewed through the mind, we're going to talk about that in a minute. The heart then that is open to God's word, believes it and does it and has faith in it. Believe is one thing, but then faith is the action of belief. We might believe the word, but even the devils believed that there was a God and they trembled. It's not the believing. It's then from that belief, taking faith in it and doing something, stepping out, speaking the word, whatever it might be that is necessary for that situation. The heart is the key. Our heart has to be open. Our heart has to be convinced of who we are in Christ and what we have in Christ. And when our heart is convinced, when our heart is fully persuaded, then out of our heart can flow the power of God and everything that we need, the wisdom of God and the love of God can flow out in fullness out of our heart. Number 10, the process of the transformed heart. So if the heart is the key, what is the process by which the heart is transformed? From our mind, which has been renewed by the word, it gets down into our heart by our actions and words of faith, which are powered by the Holy Spirit. That is the wisdom and revelation and understanding that comes. So we hear and we have read the word. We're getting some understanding. We know what we need to do. So we step out in faith to begin to do the word. It starts getting into our heart. And then as we're doing that process, then the Holy Spirit begins to give us more wisdom and understanding and revelation of what that word means. It sinks deeper and deeper, and our hearts become more and more convinced that I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus, that the love of God is in me and I can love anybody, that the power of God works through me and I can bring healing and wholeness to those around me. I can be a reconciler to those that need God as I let the Spirit of God pour out through my heart that believes. 1 John 2:27, but the anointing which you have received abides in you, and you need not that any man teach you, as the same anointing teaches you all things. As you spend time in the Word of God, as you spend time studying what the Word has to say, and letting God bring revelation and wisdom and understanding, as you begin then to, as you get that, as you begin then to act on it, as you begin to speak it, then the change comes and that anointing, God can continue to teach you more and more and more because it is through knowledge. Remember what we read in 1 Peter or 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, that we can do all things. I mean, his power has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. So everything we need to live our life, to live out the life of God that is in us and to walk in godliness is given to us as God teaches us, and we get understanding, we get knowledge, and we step out more and more. Number 12, become fully persuaded of the treasure that is in you by spending quality time with God and his word until you know that you know that you know who you are in Christ and the power of the resurrected Christ in you. You are a powerhouse. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets the captives free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up, oh well, down in my soul. Spring up, oh well, and make me whole. Spring up, oh well, and give to me that life abundantly. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Happy resurrection. Hallelujah.